and welcome to the newest episode of the Read Right to Left podcast. I am G, joined by my always wonderful co-host, Ray, from Whimsical Pictures.
Hi, guys.
And this month, September, we're doing a little less of a... it is manga-specific, but we're not talking about a specific manga or creator today. Instead, we are talking about ourselves and our early experiences, kind of our first series, our entry into this crazy, crazy world of manga, and what has led us up to this point. We have had a lot of questions from you guys, which... very appreciated. Thank you. I know it was a very last minute request this month, but you did manage to send us a whole range of questions, which hopefully we will be able to answer to some relative capacity. And because of that, I think we can just get straight into it. We can talk a little bit about our personal intro to manga, anime, whatever it was, and then just jump into your questions. And I hope you guys enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. our journey as baby weebs.
And
did she want to give, like...
Sure. I'll go first as the elder of this...
Okay.
...of this podcast... So,
the senpai, as
yes,
it were.
So I
G immediately ceases friendship.
Just unfriend you now, and okay. So we have looking. I actually have a pretty clear recollection of both, like, anime and anime in my childhood, and then me getting into anime and manga as a teenager, because all those things kind of happened around things in my life that I remember, so I do actually kind of have a pretty strong timeline. I will say that I, like a lot of people my age, I was like one of those first Pokemon kids. Like, we had the show. It was when, you know, the English dub was airing on television. Around that same era was Dragon Ball and, mostly Dragon Ball. And Sailor Moon was also on TV, but for me, I wasn't interested in Dragon Ball, didn't like it. I was also very young for that, but Pokemon was, like, right in the sweet spot. I did watch a bit of the show. I collected the cards like everybody because I was like 6 years old, and that was the prime market for Pokemon. Seven year olds. I was in first, second grade, and that was the cool thing to do. But aside from that, like, I was aware of Naruto and Yu-Gi-Oh and things that would air on morning cartoon like blocks, but, and I've talked about this before, maybe not on the podcast, I was never allowed to watch TV before school, so I never watched any of that. I am almost certain that my father has watched more Sailor Moon than I have, because my younger sister was at home and she'd watch it, so he'd watch that whilst looking after her. So, bit of a deep cut there. That was I'm aware of Sailor Moon, but I haven't really watched a lot of the classic stuff. Anyway, again, that's like the early stuff, people being, just exposed to anime without necessarily knowing it being anime. But much later on in my life, well, not that much later on, but I rediscovered or actually found out about anime once I got to high school, which is, I think, pretty typical. Like, that mid-teens age. So a lot of my friends were, well, I say a lot of, a couple of my friends were really into it. They'd been watching anime for years. And I wasn't super, like, that keen to try it for some reason. But when I, so in the 10th grade, I want to say the 10th grade, so I was 15, a lot of my friends who were into anime, they went on our school's language exchange trip. So they took Japanese, and as part of the school curriculum, every 2 years, we'd have exchange students. So we would have Japanese exchange students come to, you know, visit for our students, and then subsequently, we would, everyone in the either French class or English, Italian class or Japanese class would go to that country and spend a couple weeks there. So all my closest friends were in Japan when during the summer break, which is the end of the year, for when I was 15, I didn't have any friends around. So I had always heard like different titles of different anime from them. And whether it's through sheer boredom or it was also a little bit serendipitous because, and this is really nerdy, but also kind of a reflection of the time, because this is also when, Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged series was, like, really popular on YouTube. So I was watching that, even though I'd never watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, it was just a weird thing. but I was watching that, and then one of the comments was like, oh, this is, like, my favorite British series or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they mentioned Death Note. And that was a name that I knew because, again, my friends had spoken about it. So it was like, I don't have any friends like in the same country as me right now. I'm going to watch this show. At least I'll know what they're talking about. And thus as a 15-year-old, I found a certain website that was, I was able to watch it, in kind of janky fan subs, and I watched like all 37 episodes in like 2.5 days. I don't understand how like as a teenager you're able to do that, but I binged that show so hard, and then from there I was like, that was really good, and then I just kept watching more. I followed that with like I'm pretty sure like Hell Girl was one of the first ones, Lovely Complex, and then ultimately like Full Metal Alchemist and some of the more popular shows. I think Soul Eater might have been one I was watching. There was a lot of the popular stuff. So that was how I got into anime, and for probably 2-3 years I was really only focused on anime. I was aware of manga, but as like a 16, 17-year-old, I didn't have the money for manga, and I also was like too self-conscious to try it from my school library, even though we did have quite a lot of manga in our school library. So I was like, no, I'm 17, I can't be seen like reading comics, which is such a... you know, anyway, now meanwhile I'm almost 30 now, I'm like, yes, I buy like so many comics every month. So how things have changed. But it's kind of funny because once I did start, like I went to around that age, I started going to like some of the local conventions, and obviously manga was available there. And I put a lot of thought into like, okay, I'm going to try manga, but I don't want it to be a manga of like anything that I've watched. So that like cut out a lot of, you know, whatever it was, Death Note, Fullmetal Alchemist, blah, 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 blah. And so it was, and again, I was really into, I was watching YouTube videos about like anime collections, and a lot of those creators also had manga collections. And funnily enough, it was our good friend, Dynamic Dylan, who he made a recommendation video for Genkaku Picasso. And I was like, and he was like, oh, this is a really good series to try. It's not super long. It's really good, blah, blah, blah. And so that was, I was like, okay, I'll try that one. It doesn't have an anime. Oh, that sounds interesting. It's only 3 volumes long. And then, so the next convention, and like, it was kind of like, I was going to a convention or something within that month. So when I was there, I found the Madman booth or whoever it was, and I bought the 3 volumes of Genkaku Picasso and read them. And I also probably bought like a couple first volumes of other series that didn't have anime adaptations at the time. I think After School Charisma was one of them. Yeah, I can't really remember, but that's what started my journey. So you can all blame Dylan. And then from there, like, obviously I enjoyed it and started buying more things. After a while, I started branching into buying manga for series that I had watched the anime for, especially if there was like an adaptation, yeah, like an incomplete adaptation. So something like Blue Exorcist was one of my first early ones. And then by the point I was graduating high school, which also, just keep in mind, was, oh my god, I feel ancient. But this was when the original, well, when I graduated high school, it was also when the Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood anime was airing. And so for that full year, and then a little bit after that. So it was that year, like when it got to in 2011, when they were doing like the final couple half dozen or dozen episodes, I was like getting too invested. Like, I wanted to know what happened. The cliffhangers in the show were like too much. So I started reading Fullmetal Alchemist from there. I'm pretty sure it was through Scans, because I just want to see, like, I just want to finish it because the cliffhanger was so bad. And then ultimately, like, I bought it and have reread it since. But yeah, that kind of sealed the deal for me. And then I just kept, spiraling and buying more and more and more. And now we have gotten to this point.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, your first, like, manga series are, like, so different from, like, most people's, like, first manga.
And it was because I was just weirdly stubborn about, like, as you are at, like, 16, of being seen as cool, even though I was just a big nerd watching cartoons at home. I was like, no one must perceive that I'm even more dorky than I am. And, so it could have been the fact that, like, if I was a normal person and didn't give a shit, I probably would have been able to read, like, Naruto. I definitely know that Tsubasa and Holic were at my library. I don't know if the whole thing was there, but I know, a decent chunk of it was. Ouran was there. And those were the weird little Changyi releases, which was the Australian publishing releases. So, yeah, there was a weird... There was, like, a lot more of the more... I'm sure Naruto and whatever, Bleach. But, again, because I was like, I'm not... Well, first of all, I didn't borrow a lot of books from my school library anyway. But I certainly didn't borrow the manga because I was like, no, I cannot be perceived as enjoying this. So, yeah. Anyway.
That's like me, except that I was like a huge, like, super open like weeb who was in the Japan Club and everything. But like I was, even though like my entire lunch table was like yaoi fangirls, I was like super like, ugh, I don't read that. So, in high school, look at me now. But anyway, for me, I was not a Pokemon kid. I was a little bit too late for like Sailor Moon. And I was a little too late for like most Toonami stuff as well. I'm what they call a cusper. In that like the year that most charts like put as the cutoff between like
Millennials and
millennials and
yeah.
zoomers is like the year I was
Yeah.
born. So but yeah, so and I didn't get into Pokemon. I think I don't really know why. I think I just thought maybe the monsters were too like cute and I wanted I was like, you know, I remember like I would always play this game called like Princess and Dragon with like my little kindergarten best friend, and I would always insist on being the dragon. So I was always like, I love lizards and snakes and like bugs, and I'm not like other girls. I'm a tomboy. So I looked at the Pokemon and I was like, they're kind of stupid looking. And instead, what I got really into was Yu-Gi-Oh, which has much scarier looking dragons in it. And so I got really into that. I watched it every Saturday morning. They would play the original series. And then I also, that was when, around when GX was starting. So I watched GX all the way through from beginning to end. I just watched that as it was airing. My deck was based around Cyber Dragon mechanics, so that's all GX era. Polymerization and stuff. I was really into that card game. I didn't get into Pokemon until middle school. I had like a best friend who was really into Pokemon and got me into that. But so like Pokemon is also nostalgic for me, but for me, Pokemon is nostalgic for like tween times, and Yu-Gi-Oh is much more early and foundational for me. And yeah, I watched Yu-Gi-Oh every Saturday. I also, Yu-Gi-Oh was my first manga. Which, because the Shonen Jump release of that manga was not flipped, I was like vaguely aware that it was something different from American comic books, but I didn't really have like an understanding that it was from Japan. I just read it and was like, I think this is from some other country, and that's why it's backwards. And I didn't really question it beyond that. I also very early on, my parents did let me watch TV before I went to school because I was very into the Magic School Bus and then Captain Planet. And that was always 6:30 a.m. So I would get up early to watch that. And I think one day I just like happened to turn on the TV a little bit early. And there was this weird cartoon just ending, and all of the commercial breaks said it was Adult Swim, and I was like, oh, this is a cartoon for grown-ups. Just like Adult Swim at the pool, like only grown-ups can go in the pool. So if I get up early to watch this cartoon, then I'll be like a grown-up. So my parents had no idea I was getting up at 6 to watch Adult Swim, but I was. And the show that I was watching, I would many, many years later learn is very much a kid's show in Japan. 'cause I was watching Case Closed.
Oh.
Which is the English localized title of Detective Conan. And it was very different from any other cartoons I was watching because it was a murder mystery and it was very gruesome sometimes. And the main character was like this grown man in a child's body. I did not watch the first couple episodes, so I had no idea what was happening. And I may have vaguely been aware that he was 17, but I was like 8, so I thought he was grown up. And I just watched that every morning, and I kind of didn't know what was happening, but like I felt very mature watching it, so.
You've also unlocked a core memory of mine that I forgot, wherein at like age 12, 13, so a little bit before I like quote unquote discovered anime, my aunt and uncle at their house, they had Foxtel, like cable TV. We didn't have that. So whenever I was over at their house, like I'd watch all of the channels, all of the cartoon channels that we didn't have. So like Disney Channel and Nickelodeon and whatever else. And yeah, once it got to like 9:30, Adult Swim started, and I was like, "Ooh, this is like interesting." And half the time, like I wouldn't even necessarily watch it. I'd just flick over to another channel. But that was when I just sometimes I did watch it, and I'd end up watching like random episodes of the original Fullmetal Alchemist, Inuyasha, and Ghost in the Shell, which were the three that were like always playing. So I even before like I watched Fullmetal, I had seen some Fullmetal, and I was like, "Oh, that's what that was." It was like a late stage realization. Oh, that seems familiar. Anyway, sorry. That just like really jumped out at me. I'm like, "Oh my God."
Well, we will get to Inuyasha. But we're not there yet in my story. Yeah, so Yu-Gi-Oh and Case Closed, those were the first ones. I distinctly remember commercials for One Piece and Dragon Ball Z, and I thought they were both ugly as sin and refused to watch them. So DBZ was not formative for me. I still think it's really ugly, and I have not watched it. So,
Samesies.
yeah, this is why we have a podcast together. Meanwhile, my middle school library was really small, and I spent a lot of time there because, like, middle school was a tough time for me. I just skipped a grade, and I didn't really have a lot of friends. They put me in the library whenever, like, I had a lot of times when class was like so ridiculously easy that I was just miserable. Like, and they would just dump me in the library to take an online course for that because they didn't have systems in place to, deal with kids like me. I hate the word gifted because it's a terrible word and I hate it. But it is a real experience. And I basically cried myself to sleep every night for all of middle school, and it didn't get better until high school. So, anyway, that gave me a lot of time to read. And the middle school library was very small, so I got through most of the books in it. At least the ones that seemed even vaguely interesting to me, very quickly. And what was left were comic books. And they had about two shelves of manga. I vaguely remembered what that was from when I used to read Yu-Gi-Oh. And those were the art styles that appealed to me. A lot of it was shoujo manga. What I ended up picking up first were Plus Anima and Fruits Basket, which I mean were very good places to start. Plus, anima's solid. Fruits Basket is still my favorite series of all time. So, yeah, I read those, and I absolutely adored both of them. Fruits Basket basically saved my life. I've talked about this before. But I didn't go much beyond like the series that were in my school library at the time. The public library didn't have a much bigger selection. So what happened was I kind of stayed like out of full-on like manga fandom by virtue of I had very limited computer time and limited sites that my parents let me go on, so I was always on Neopets and that was it. as well as like limited access to books, so it was really only like five series that I had read. But then I moved and I moved back to Colorado. I started going to high school. The library at that school had a much bigger manga selection, and the public library had an even bigger selection than that. And basically, I saw an ad for what, like a local anime club, manga club, whatever, that they were holding at the library. And I was like, ooh, maybe I can go talk about Fruits Basket. And I went to the first meeting of that, and they were talking about series that I'd never seen before. And I felt I didn't have fun that first time because I was like, nobody has seen the stuff that I've like read or watched. And I feel stupid because I feel like I don't actually know anything about manga or anime. I'm the kind of person who sees stuff like that as a challenge. yeah, majime sugiru, that's what we call that. But so I started reading so much stuff from my school library. I read Naruto, I read Tsubasa, I read Holic, I read Hunter Hunter, I read Vampire Knight, I read Rurouni Kenshin. I read Yu Yu Hakusho. Don't watch the new Rurouni Kenshin anime, by the way.
Yes,
Mangaka is
do
a creep.
not.
Don't support his evil. But I mean, I loved the series at the time. And I read like a whole bunch of other stuff besides. And when I went back to that otaku club the next month, by gosh, I was the most knowledgeable person there. And I kept up the habit of reading like two series a week. Like I was just blasting through this stuff. Yeah, it was a lot. I don't know how I did it. I don't, as an adult now, I don't understand.
There must be some kind of like, I don't know, secondary energy that like 15-year-olds can tap into
Yeah, for
to
real.
like get through life, because again, like I do not know how I got
Yeah, I'm
through
like,
37 half-hour episodes in like 2 days. I don't know
yeah.
how I did it.
I don't know. It's wild, man. Like, it's like every 2 days I was starting a new series, and these were like not short series. They were like 30 volumes. But I read so much. They had, what did they have? Yakitate Japan. They had like Fushigi Yugi. They had at my local public library, so I read that. I read Siri Celestial Legend. I read all the Yuwatase. I had a Yuwatase phase, man. yeah, it was crazy. And From there, I basically throughout high school, I didn't buy much manga, except that I bought Fruits Basket as it was coming out. And then when Borders closed, I bought a bunch because the volumes were like 50 cents, right? But what I did buy was, I hadn't even gotten to the anime side of things. I also watched a ton of anime during this time, and most of it was stuff that was on TV because by this point I had DVR and was able to tape stuff. So anything that I found on Adult Swim, I would watch. I watched, and I think I watched Naruto like entirely online. I watched Black Butler for sure online. I think I watched like Pandora Hearts probably.
Oh my
Stuff like
gosh.
that. All the like Black Butler adjacent stuff I was very into. I read Black Butler on Scanlations as well. Because that's what my friend group was super into. They were into Black Butler and Hitalia.
Oh God, we're not gonna talk about the Hitalia phase that we all went
Yeah,
through,
let's not talk about
but
how everyone at my lunch table had an assigned country. I don't want to talk about it. Look, we make mistakes in life and we move on and we grow and we become better people.
different place in, what was it, 2009, 2010. It just was. It wasn't
Yeah.
nearly as, and for a 16-year-old, your brain doesn't understand why things are
No.
bad.
No.
So.
My favorite character was Russia. I don't want to talk about
Oh
her.
my God.
Anyway. Black Butler's fine. We were all really into Black Butler. Stuff like that. But I also watched all the stuff on Adult Swim. So I was watching Bleach, I remember. I watched Moribito, Guardian of the Spirit. I watched Standalone Complex, Ghost in the Shell. I watched just all kinds of stuff on there. Cowboy Bebop. I also watched all the stuff that was on. Oh, I watched Death Note. I was really into Death Note. Obviously.
Everyone was. It was the thing. It was the gateway for, that generation of fans, which I include myself in because it literally was.
That was like my first exposure to BL. I also watched the stuff that was on Sci-Fi, so at the time that was Gundam 00. So I've seen all of that and it's like weirdly formative for me. Just like for a lot of people, Gundam Wing is super formative. I was too young for Gundam Wing, so my formative Gundam series was 00 as a teenager, which is like a spiritual successor to Wing, so and kind of better. Don't come for me. I'm not saying it's good necessarily, but I am saying that Gundam Wing was bad.
Many people would disagree with that. It's just that Gundam Wing has like infinite more shipping potential, which is why it was popular, right? Like it
Oh,
had the boy band aesthetic going
gee.
on.
Gee, do you know who did the character designs for Gundam 00?
I
That
mean,
was Yun
Turi.
Koga. That was also one of my first like male ships before I was okay with BL at all. I was like super into Lock On and Tieria, so let's see. And I actually watched all of Monster through Sci-Fi too, so I feel like I'm one of the five people who's seen the entire series in English.
One of the five Americans, because lest we forget, Australia got a complete DVD release of Monster. So suck it, Americans.
But I have seen all 74 English dubbed on the Sci-Fi Channel. And yeah, so I also started taking Japanese in high school, mostly because I was obsessed with Fruits Basket, and all of the sound effects were in Japanese. So I was like, what is this strange language? Oh, I can learn it at school. Then I'll be able to love Fruits Basket even more. And I wasn't really interested in Spanish, French, or German, so I ended up taking Japanese. And then obviously I've kept up with that. I was also in my school's Japan club. I was very active in it. And then was very active in my Japan club in college as well, and ultimately became an officer. And yeah, that pretty much, when it comes to collecting, it started with anime. I didn't know Fruits Basket had an anime until I saw it in Best Buy one day, and then I saved up my pocket money, and that was my first anime that I ever bought. The second one was a gift from my parents, I think. They got me like half of Ouran High School Host Club. And from there, I was watching a lot of like, I was really into like Channel Awesome and like that guy with the glasses.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're so many memories. Right. You and
Yeah.
I, we had very similar
Yeah, we
media
have like
childhood.
such strange like overlap in our media history. But there was a creator on there who I actually knew from before he was on Channel Awesome, who went by Yaesotaku at the time. And I watched like religiously, like all of his reviews, and I watched all those shows. I loved Princess Tutu and Wolf's Rain and like Mushishi and stuff, all from seeing his reviews of those. And I like became really active on the ANN forums, and on like the forums for his little group of creators as well. And yeah, and I also got really into Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, I think through Channel Awesome. I feel like he was on there for a bit.
A little bit, but I think his major base was always YouTube, and that was
Yeah.
like,
That
yeah,
wasn't like
also
how
the
I
like,
originally found him. Like, I think I found him on that guy with the glasses, and then I followed him to YouTube.
Well, because this is also the time when like YouTube was rising as like a thing, but it was also really murky for like copyright and stuff, because that was the whole thing of like why that guy with the glasses had his own website, because of it was just interesting time in the internet. Just
Yeah.
this weird
God,
world that
guys.
doesn't exist anymore.
Do you remember Blip? Everyone was
Blip.tv,
on
yeah.
Blip.tv. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so important chapter in how I like developed my taste as an anime fan. So, and from when I became active on ANN forums, that was when I started following stuff season by season. And from there, I think from like 2011 onward, I remember it was 2011 because one of the first series I watched as it was coming out was number six. And yep, from then on, I just kept watching stuff season by season. And as it came out, I would buy the anime releases. I don't collect anime anymore, I just collect manga, but for a while I had a very sizable anime collection. And I kept buying manga too, and here we are. That took a long time. It's like a
I
very
find that kind
convoluted journey.
Yeah, I find it kind of incredible that seasonally I started maybe like 6 months before you did watching anime seasonally, because I am 100% sure that my first like thing that I watched as it aired was, as I mentioned earlier, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. But 2011, so that finished in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And 2011 was, like, the year. That was the year where I was like, okay, now I know that, like, I can watch things as they come out. That's mm-hmm. when I got my Crunchyroll subscription. Mm-hmm. And so, because I watched the new Hunter x Hunter anime as it came out. I watched yeah. Wandering yeah, yeah. Sun as it came out. I watched a lot of those, like, yeah, 2011, I was watching so many. Chai Furu, the first season of that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Free. It was just, like, uh-huh. a time. So many shows. And, yeah. Yeah, that was also my Tumblr era, mm-hmm. where for everything mm-hmm, fandom. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was never a live journal girl, but, mm-hmm. although I did kind of retroactively have to hunt through some live journal because, again, this was in that weird period of, like, when live journal had kind of turned to Dreamcast, but everyone was also moving to Tumblr. It was just, and I was like, I want to talk to people about the all of these cool things that I watch. And, oh my god, I mean, you say that Gundam 00 was, like, your first intro to, I guess, BL and mm-hmm. shipping.
That and mine, Death Note.
Yeah, mine, and, like, again, do not, this is a reflection of an era of my past self that I'm not proud of. Mine was Hitalia, and that was, like,
oh no,
such
I shipped
thing.
Hitalia so much, too. That was our lunch table's thing, so, you know, none of us is free from sin here.
No, oh god. And then I was just like, wow. Because it was weird, because prior to that, I was kind of a little bit weird of, like, I don't understand, like, I was super into just the, like, the canonical relationships of whatever
yep,
show I
yep,
was watching.
Yep, yep,
and
yep.
so I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't understand why people would ship so-and-so character. Not because I didn't like, you know, gay people. I've grown up with quite a few queer people in my life, so it was never that. I was just like, I don't understand. Like, it doesn't need to. It's, and I don't, it, weird. I, strange part of my life. And then, but it was Hitalia. And I think it was merely because there's, like, three female characters in that whole fucking mm-hmm. show.
Yeah.
That, like, you all, and in saying that, like, I still shipped the het characters as well, like, the het ships as well. Mm-hmm. It was just mostly, like, oh, well, you know, when you have 90 male characters and half this show is, like, basically BL anyway, which is really weird considering it's all historical, well, playing off of actual historical stuff. So I was like, well, like, sure, I don't mind. But also, like, a lot of my, I think, prior shipping exposure had been a lot of, like, again, I wasn't, like, Vitaly was my first fandom, like, proper fandom. I enjoyed things, but I never dove into, like, online communities with it. So mm-hmm. when people were really, like, shipping, for example, like, Edward and Roy from Fullmetal Alchemist or the mm-hmm. Elric brothers, I was never, like, I never liked that. I was just like, that's weird. So it was Hitalia
yeah.
that, like, broke that. Anyway.
Well, I distinctly remember, like, one of my first series at my high school, right, was that I read with Tsubasa. Mm-hmm. And, like, at the time, like, for me, I did, like, born and raised Catholic, had a lot of shit that I had to work through in high school and college. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was very, like, gay people. Ugh. mm-hmm. It was a new concept to me, and I, like, didn't, yeah, you know. You know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Yes, yes.
Again, look at me now. with all my religious trauma. But, anyway, so
At the time, I was very staunchly like, I don't understand why people ship Kurogane and Fi together. They're like, there's nothing here. Like, what are you talking about? They're just really good friends. It took me a few years, but I did see the light on that one, and it ended up being, like, one of, again, one of the first, like, times that I was, like, okay with, like, you know, that I acknowledged, like, that there were queer characters in the series and was okay with that and really liked them and wanted to ship them. So it ended up being, like, positive for my development as a human being, but, yeah, so. On that note, kind of a sour note, but did we want to get into questions?
I think so.
Okie dokie. Well, this first question is actually relevant to what I was just saying. friend of the show, Rin at Rin Reads Manga, how has your asked a few questions. Most people asked a few questions this time. But Rin asks, how has your taste in manga changed or stayed the same over the years? That's one thing, is I became okay with gay people.
What character development. Honestly, Ray, proud of you. Amazing. Yeah.
Now I'm one of them. Oh gosh.
It truly was a bad influence. Look at you now.
Been corrupted by the gay agenda.
I would say, for me, I don't know that my taste has necessarily changed a lot, but I'm more discerning. Obviously, when you're younger, again, you're, like, excited. It's this whole new world of, like, stuff. So you're reading a lot, you're watching a lot, you're trying to consume as much as you can within the season. And now I think I have this similar taste to my younger self. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that, if I was introduced to it now, I wouldn't put the time and effort into watching or reading. But I probably would still, like, gain enjoyment from it, right? But, yeah, it's that, again, that weird energy that you have as, like, in your mid to late teens where you're like, I can just watch and read whatever. And it does mean that, like, you read stuff that you don't like, or that you finish it for some reason because there's that, like, completionist, like, well, I need to just, I'll just power through it.
Yeah.
again, yeah. It's like, kid, just stop reading. Like, you don't have to. But, like, I think, again, I'm older, so now I don't really, like, I'm not super that invested in, like, stories about teens, but I was also, like, never that into, like, the teen romance stuff. It just, like, high school romance, I was a very cynical teenager. I was like, nobody's teenage relationship lasts until, like, marriage. Like, this is crap. No, this is all just bullshit. So I was never like, oh my god, this is a perfect, you know, whatever. But again, like, I think I'm sure there's plenty of stuff. Oron's a good, like, that just hasn't aged well. Like, if I read it now, I'm like, you know, this is still fun. And it's a lot of, it was a good time for when it was popular. I don't know that it would be to the same level of popularity if it was coming out now, or if I was reading it for the first time now. Yeah, I think my interest and investment in, like, stories about teenagers has definitely waned over the years because I am very far from being a teenager now. But I also don't hate teen stories or teen-focused stories. I just look at them with a different lens of, like, oh, man, aren't teenagers so fucking stupid? Like, of course they're making dumb decisions. Or, like, of course this seems super dramatic and important to them now because they're 17. The whole world always seems so important. So I might even be a little bit more forgiving than I was as like a 17-year-old myself. That's actually probably the one that I've changed. And I know this is a question we get a little bit later, but the series that I've changed my opinion on the most since initially watching it and reading it to revisiting it as an older person is Paradise Kiss. Because when I watched it 17 in the midst of like high school exams, graduation, all of the stress of like upcoming university, and the fact that the girl, I don't remember her name, like just quit school or wants to quit school with like 3 months left, I was so pissed off. I was like, girl, you are so dumb. But like just all this like, I was so angry at all of the characters in that series. And then now I'm like, man, I was going through a rough time. I was very stressed. Like, I still think she was making stupid, dumb decisions, but I also, like, I can understand more as to why she was making those stupid, dumb decisions. So, yes. Anyway.
Honestly, like, it's basically everything that you said for me as well. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I've gotten more discerning. I know my taste better now. I'm less interested in stories about teens, but also, like you said, I think it's, yeah, same for me, where it's, like, I'm more forgiving in a way. Mm-hmm. I remember for me, the thing that I wanted to bring up was, like, the thing that I think I've lost is, other than, you know, this insane energy and, like, stamina and, like, time that I apparently had to just eat through these series like they were nothing. Was, like, this weird self-consciousness I had about my taste in manga and anime. Like, I was pretentious. I was so, like, I would read, like, the reviews on ANN or watch, like, you know, these creators who I was watching and, like, you know, have this idea of what good anime taste was. And if I didn't match up, like, then I would have bad taste and be, like, uncool and not be able to talk to, like, other anime fans because, like, I would be outed as, like, this stupid teenager. Which I was a stupid teenager, so it's like, you know, what are you trying to prove? I remember distinctly, like, because Yei Sotaku didn't really like Evangelion, I convinced myself that I didn't like Evangelion, even though I'd never seen a single episode, and would go around with that opinion, like it was mine. And then I watched Evangelion in college after I'd lost some of this, you know, preconceptions that I had and, like, you know, loved it. It's one of my favorite anime now, so it's like... but I think if I'd watched it as a teenager, I probably wouldn't have liked it because I would have been like, Shinji, why are you so dumb? Even though I was going through the same stuff Shinji was, so it's like... But it's like, you can't... At that age... What you're not, like, you're not looking for a mirror, you know? You're not ready to look in a mirror. as harsh of a mirror as Shinji is in particular.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I looked, I think at that time, stuff like Fruits Basket that is a little bit more rosy towards its messed up characters. A little bit less tough love, that was more appropriate for what I was going through at that time. And I probably wasn't ready for something like Eva or Utena, which I also saw during college, until I was a little bit older. But yeah, so, you know, I would do stuff like that. And nowadays it's like, I'm still pretentious, but...
But now we know our opinions are right.
Now so I know matter. My opinion is right. Yeah, now I just, you know, I just like stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, and I you know, it's like now I still choose to read the pretentious vampire option, which is the Poe clan. but I do choose it because it's about bisexual vampire boys vibing, so.
I mean, the most important reason. What I was going to say is, because a similar thing, I was certainly pretentious. Again, I don't think there's any teenager that doesn't go through, like, this level of pretension of, like, yes, I am so smart and cool, and my opinions are so mature compared to all my stupid, you know, classmates.
Plebeian classmates.
Exactly.
The sheeple. But
what I was going to say is my level of pretension is, like, obviously I do read stuff that I would consider more, quote-unquote, like, highbrow or alternative, or, like, not necessarily mainstream, but also I am 100% ready to embrace all of the weird shit that I probably would have been like, this is a bit weird. Whereas now I'm like, don, hell yes, give me that
Chainsaw
shit.
Man. Yeah.
Chainsaw Man, get it, amazing. whereas if I'd come into those series, I probably still would have liked them, but I would have been like, yeah, it's good, but, like, it's not as good, like, you know, it is a certain jump title, right? Yeah. Like, just that level
of, it's like, I know, even though I adored Wolf's Rain and Princess Tutu in high school, if I had tried to watch Utena back then, I would have been like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. She turns into a cow? What? Because Utena does not take itself seriously, ever. It's camp, to the highest degree. So, or like JoJo. I would have thought JoJo was the dumbest thing. Because it is. It's so dumb.
It
but
is.
That's what's great about it.
That's the entertaining part. That's the fun bit. You're not watching because it's like high art. It's high art in a very different way compared to like something that's just extremely dour with like monster, right? So serious.
I'm just like
very.
I'm just like imagining like, forcing my teenage self to read notes on camp. Expecting her to understand anything about it. Rin also asks, do you feel like you enjoy the medium more now as adults?
Hell
I think I enjoy
yes.
it. I think I enjoy it differently. I don't think I enjoy it more.
I would say I enjoy it more insofar as, like, I enjoy everything, for the most part, that I read and choose to, like, spend my time on. Again, when you're, like, 15, you're just reading everything, so there is gonna be stuff that, like, you put the energy into that you don't necessarily, like, you finish it and, like, that was dumb. And you're like, well, if you thought it was dumb, why didn't you drop it, like, 12 volumes ago? But I also think that, like, again, your teenage self is so much more open to being, like, infatuated with the series for it to, like, become all-consuming in your life. Like, for you, that was Fruits Basket. For me, it was Fullmetal Alchemist. And that's reflected in, like, that's still kind of our pre-existing favorites, right? But there's, once when you get a little bit older, I think you enjoy and appreciate series a lot more for what they are, what they can, like, what they're actually saying, rather than just being like, hell yeah, this has cool fights, or like, I love these characters being in love, right? Like, there's other stuff to enjoy.
I
want to
marry
it.
Zero. Yeah, like I feel like that all-consuming passion that you can only feel as a teenager. It's a lot of fun, you know? There's days when you miss it. But I don't think that I enjoy things less now, because as an adult, I don't necessarily experience that part of it. But, so I feel like there's a level on which I do, like, it feels like I appreciate things more because I'm meeting them where they're at, like you were saying. But I also feel like that sort of, you know, single-minded infatuation is just, like, it's just as deep of a love for a thing, but it's just a different form of it. So for me, I feel like I probably still love it just as much. I just love it differently.
The other thing I would add is that I think, again, getting older, a little bit more mature, a little bit more experienced, you become, and a little bit more aware of the world, you become more critical of stuff that you wouldn't have been as, like, a 18-year-old, right? Like, whether that's age gap romance, whether that's, like, pretty shitty writing of female character, like, just really misogynistic writing of characters, whether it's very, you know, homophobic kind, or, you know, casually homophobic stuff, because there was lots of that in very popular series in the mid and late 2000s, in some of the largest popular titles around, including, like, Death Note and all of those, right? And so now, you know, I think, and I always give Death Note the pass because I'm like, yeah, but also this character is meant to be an asshole. So, like, it kind of works. I don't think it was intentional, but it kind of works. But, like, there is so much that, as, again, a 15-year-old or whatever, you're not really thinking about, like, wow, these characters, like, treat their one female friend super shitty, or, like, she doesn't do anything except to be like, oh, here, I made you lunch, and, like, this is all I'm gonna contribute to the whole story.
Or, like,
also the
wow, the only female character in the group got the healing powers, so she doesn't get to go on the trip to, like, beat the bad guy.
Exactly. And also, I think the conversations around those characters has shifted as well. Like, I think people are more... maybe it's just because I surround myself around, like, older fans, or fans my age-ish and older, that people are aware of, like, the double standard between male and female superheroes in My Hero Academia, for example, or, you know, whatever. So there is more of an awareness of, like, hey, it's kind of shitty that, like, all of these female characters never get to go on the adventures, or, like, hey, it's kind of shitty that, you know, this guy is whatever, like, you know, the fact that Platinum End has, like, totally destroyed Oba's credibility is such a nice, like, I'm so glad I never have to fucking hear people tout him as a genius anymore, because it was Bakuman, fuck that guy, like, honestly.
I do think there is a level in which, like, teenagers today are gonna be perhaps less forgiving of certain things than we were, or more aware of certain things. But it's still, like, you know, you still see people being, like, the best female characters in anime, and they'll put, like, you know, Nezuko or something on the list. It's like, ah, yes, the one who keeps turning into a literal baby.
But yeah, it's I do think there's a level on which people are more aware these days, including kids. But I also think that, our age is a factor.
Absolutely.
For
And it's
sure.
the social conversation, right? Like in our quote unquote lifetime of since, becoming anime fans or whatever, we've had the legalization of gay marriage in very major first world countries. We've had so many like social things, whether that's, racial equality, whether it is like that sexuality and gender equality, so many more social issues becoming well known and talked about because of social media and because of all these sorts of things that you are like the young people are more clued in. They back in 2009, we didn't have like Twitter as it exists now.
I
Right.
literally learned about the word homosexual, like what it meant, in high school.
Oh my God.
And I learned what transgender meant in college.
Well,
So.
yeah, I learned what transgender like that transgender people existed from fucking Wandering Sun. It shouldn't have taken me till 2011 to learn that. Anyway, sorry. It's just the world has changed and social awareness has changed, and because we have lived through it, we are aware of like the difference between now and 10 years ago, and the Zoomers of this world don't. They were children. They live in this post 9/11 world without any awareness of pre 9/11 world, right? Like it is kind of that shift of like we grew up without all of this social media. Facebook was like when I was in high school, people first started getting Facebook when I was like, again, 15, 16. This is a long time.
I was 13, 14, but yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that the thing that I see a lot these days still is almost like a reaction to the movement of the social conversation, which is people's opinions about Japan, extremely
Oh my
uninformed, unnuanced opinions
God.
about the country of Japan, where it's like you either have the ones who are like, Japan doesn't buy into this PC bullshit, so anime is the conservative paradise that I've always wanted. Or it's the other side of it where it's like, well, Japan is so backwards compared to, our wonderful, like advanced American society or British society or whatever, Western society, I guess.
Right,
And
there
it's
is a
like,
third type, which is the Japan is like invented BL and therefore must be like this paradise for queer creators and people. And you're like, no,
And
I'm
it's
so
like, I just am begging you to read a little bit. That's all. For any of these takes, because it's like, and it's like, I get it, they're teenagers, and like, their ability to empathize to the point where they're like able to form a nuanced opinion about a culture so different from their own is not really there yet, but I'm also like, calm down, children. Please. It's, Japan has a lot of problems that America, might be a little further ahead on. America has a lot of problems that Japan might be a little further ahead on. Japan in general, very conservative politically. But like, there's people fighting the good fight too, yeah, that's part of like a greater like flattening of like nuance that I think you see a lot. Elsewhere on the internet as well. Rin also asks one more question. Series you like better now than when you first read them?
I mentioned Paradise Kiss, which is like my ultimate, but I would say stuff like Ghost in the Shell and stuff that, is smarter than a 16-year-old can handle. You watch it at like that age and it you like it for the superficial stuff, and then when you revisit it as an older person, you're like, wow, there's like a lot going on here in regards to themes and social messaging. And unfortunately, a lot of that stuff just keeps getting more and more relevant. Paranoia Agent's another one, that like at the time I enjoyed it, and also I think it was a mix of like, oh, I have good opinions because I think that this is like really good, but revisiting now you're like, man, that's a fucking good show. So yes, those.
I'm trying to think. I feel like there's a lot of things that I like also loved as a teenager, but I love on different levels now than I used to. I mentioned like Wolf's Rain. I love for completely different reasons now than I used to. Fruits Basket. There's new layers to my love added every time I reread it. That's a like a coming of age, like largely teen story. So obviously, your way of looking at it changes a lot when you're not a teenager anymore. Yeah, I don't know if I can think of like a specific title where I'm like, I love it so much more now. I think Holic I definitely appreciated more later, and I appreciated Tsubasa less as I got older. I'm having trouble thinking of like specifics. Like Monster, I feel like I enjoy differently now than I used to. Stuff like that. Obviously I had this weird hiccup, like this weird like stick up my ass about Evangelion, but that was because I hadn't watched it. So yeah, Nana is another one that like I liked in high school, but there was a lot that I didn't understand about it, because it's really aimed at a slightly older audience than that. But I still love it now, but for different reasons. And I feel like I have a fuller picture of like what it is and what it's about. So it's just stuff that I love differently, I think, more so than anything else. Next set of questions is from Marumichi at Marumichi. This is like just getting into like general questions about us as collectors. They ask what kind of manga readers or collectors we are, and what kind of manga we like to read or collect, or what our taste in manga is like. Yeah, I'll put those together as one question.
So I think anyone who's followed my, what, 5, 6 years on YouTube has a pretty, well, hopefully a good idea about my approach to manga collecting. I've certainly, over the last 10 years, become a lot more discerning regarding, what I buy and how much I'm buying, but I've always my issue is that I do have like a I typically enjoy like most things. I do have pretty broad tastes and I'm willing to try most things, unless, there's something really obviously not gonna be like something I'm into or again, problematic creator or something like that. So I have very broad tastes, But I would say that, as hopefully a lot of people would know, my approach to collecting is to focus on the series that I not only really love and enjoy in a way that, like, is more than just, like, a general, like, that was fun, that was good, like, I don't feel horrible having read that, to, like, man, I really, really liked that. I liked, you know, it was a 9 out of 10 for whatever characters, right, like, every single thing, plus I want to reread this. Like, I will probably revisit this in the future, and I want to have the ability to do so without having to hunt down either digital copies or library copies or, you know, illegal scans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my approach, and even though I've been downsizing, I still have so many books, but my approach has always tried to be, over the last couple years, looking at manga and that collection as something that I'm happy to revisit. I'm also happy to reassess, because something that I loved and really cared about and was really passionate about 5 years ago might also not be something that I'm, you know, all loving in the same level 5 years down the line. So I look at myself as like a curator collector. Like, I curate the very specific titles that fit my criteria. I don't like to be overwhelmed. I'm not running a library, right? Like, I don't need to have a series from every year represented on my shelves. I'm not, and again, I've spoken about this at more length on my YouTube channel, but I don't want to be having a bunch of series that other people think I ought to have, because I don't know these other people. They don't live with me. They don't have to put up with it. If they want those series, fantastic. Congrats. You buy them. I don't want to. And nothing, like, brings the size of a collection more to the forefront than having to deal with 1,000 fucking books, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's you know, and again, I see my collection as, like, kind of a living thing. It grows and shrinks as time goes on. It's continuously evolving, and I, a person, continuously evolve, hopefully for the better, right?
Mm-hmm.
My tastes, although they are pretty general, I do prefer titles that are focused on more adult characters, or kind of larger themes, presented in a creative way. I also just like the weird shit. We've talked about this, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm always down for something weird and wacky, especially if it's saying something with that weirdness and wackiness. It's mm-hmm. not, well, I say that. I don't know how much of Dandadan's weirdness is saying something, but it's a hell of a good time. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is, like, ultimately it's my enjoyment. I'm not here to please other people, because that, again, I don't know them. They live probably in a different country, and I'm never gonna meet them. And also, they're not invited. I don't want them having to spend time in my space anyway. I've always seen, like, I'm very particular about how a room or how a space feels, how it looks, how a collection, I've never wanted, like, 3,000 books, because I find that just so suffocating, whereas other people love that. They want that. They want to buy every release from a certain publisher ever, and that's fantastic. Cool. I'm not an archivist, right? Like, I don't have the time, money, energy, or space for any of that. And I don't have the wherewithal to want to do that either, right? Like, it might be a little bit different if we're talking about, like, Glacier Bay books, right? That have maybe 24 releases of single volumes at this point. But if you're trying to collect every Shonen Jump manga that there has ever been in English, good luck to you. I salute you. That's a big task. But some people do it, and that's fantastic for them. So, you know, I just see... Yeah, I just see collecting as a further extension... Oh, collecting, quote-unquote. And again, I've spoken about that. I don't like to see myself as a collector because although that's, I guess, fundamentally what I do and what I show off on my dedicated YouTube channel for manga, I also don't see it... Like, I'm not collecting it because... I want to collect it. I'm buying things because I want to read them, or I want to support the publisher, or like I freaking like that series and I want to reread it. I'm not a collector, I'm a manga fan. And ultimately that's like, I don't care if my pages go yellow. I don't care if the sun touches my unblemished spine, right? Like, I'm not gonna bag every one of my books individually because of the sheer, you know, possibility that one day it might be a humid day and my pages could warp a little bit. I don't give a shit. I don't care about any of that. And a lot of people do, and that's fine and cool. Again, a lot of energy to something that is ultimately like not enjoyable for me, so I'm kind of an anti-collector in that sense. I like to use my books, I like to revisit my books, I like to, when I look at the shelves of my collection, you know, say, man, all of these things are really great, and if I want to pull a book out and start reading it, I will probably enjoy it, and revisit that and have that fun experience or that emotional experience, or also have a different experience and maybe a new appreciation or a different appreciation compared to my first impression. And then again, and from that, I can then reassess, you know, do I want this? And will I, like, should I find a new home for this? So yeah, that's how I look at it.
And I've been, like, it's interesting because it seems like I make decisions about downsizing my collection at more or less similar times to when G decides to make these decisions, which is really funny. And usually for similar reasons. So it's always funny, like, you know, messaging G about it, and we're just, like, on the same page, doing the same thing. But I think my reasons are a bit different. I think early on in collecting, and especially early on in my YouTube channel, it was very much this idea that, like, I enjoyed the idea of, like, my shelves being an accurate representation of me, like, me and my taste and, you know, the things that I love. But, you know, as I went on, and especially, like, since I moved to Japan, right? And, you know, I moved back to the States and again had to downsize. And, you know, don't want to get a ton of books together because I plan on moving back to Japan eventually.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, for someone who, you know, ostensibly is going to be hopping back and forth for the rest of my life, it's not practical to have, you know, 1,000 books. You know, for, like, my lifestyle. But it is, like, I don't mind calling myself a collector. You know, my parents are too. It's just always been our personalities.
I've literally been collecting things since before I was born because my parents, you know, my dad was in the military and they each had something they would collect from each place that we went. So they wanted me to have one too. So they decided I would collect pillboxes. And so, like, I knew what it was to collect, like, before I knew most things, you know? and I do, what I found is, like, what I found when I had, like, the most books in my collection was that the books were turning into clutter.
Yeah.
That I was looking around and seeing series that I didn't care that much about, that I was never going to read again, that didn't, like, spark joy when I looked at them, right? And what I wanted was to downsize my collection to literally just my favorite things. So that when I looked at my shelves, I was just surrounded by things that I love. And that's kind of been my philosophy ever since, except that my definition of, like, what counts as a favorite thing gets more and more narrow because of just, like, space considerations and what I can pack in a suitcase, you know? So... the one thing that I definitely consider my, and also, like, there's the factor of having gotten into Takarazuka, which is another, like, money-intensive hobby, so, you know, it's having to divide the money that I'm spending, and the space that I'm using between those two as well. But, especially, you know, once I am back in Japan and am able to, you know, buy tickets. But the one thing that I do, like, consider myself a collector of at this point is obviously Moto Hagio's books. My goal is still to collect all of those. In that sense, I am an archivist, I guess. Because I want a representation of her entire library, but it's because I love everything that she's written, so.
I mean, I've made the note that, like, there's a couple creators like that for me, including Hagio. Yuki Kamitani's one of them. And increasingly rapidly, Tatsuki Fujisaki has also become one of those. So it's, like, there are certain creators, and Fumi Yoshinaga, the big one, right? Like, I own all of her stuff. And in one sense, like, that is collecting, and that's a collector's mindset, and it's, you know, you're getting everything that you can from a creator because you want everything that they have put out in English. Or in Japanese, in your case. But again, it's like you said, because you freaking love everything that they've done. And it's a pretty sure bet that you're going to freaking love whatever else they're going to do. So, you know, that's part of the process too, right? Is looking at through gaining experience of, like, what you like and what you enjoy, you then become more choosy as to who those people are, right? Like, I would never own all of Hiromu Arakawa's works. Not because any of them are inherently bad, but, like, I don't love them the same way that, you know, I do in... love all of Kamitani's works, right? Like, it's just, that's the fact of the matter.
What it is for me is I found that, like, Hagio is, like, the only creator that's like that for me, I think. Because, like, even Kamitani is, like, I really loved Nabari no O. We did a podcast episode on it. But I ended up getting rid of that series just because it was 14 volumes that I didn't have space for. And I was like, you know, am I going to reread this the way that I'm going to reread, like, Shonen Note or Our Dreams at Dusk? And, you know, that was a hard cut that I had to make. Or, like, Ai Yazawa. Like, you know, I had to decide, am I going to reread, you know, Gokinjo Monogatari or Paradise Kiss as much as I would reread Nana. And I was like, no, then I probably don't need those other ones. So definitely like coming to the realization that I don't need to be a weird completionist about creators was a big part of my journey. So, and that's where I'm at now, I think. No, because even, like, Natsuki Takaya, like, I own all the stuff she's done since Fruits Basket, but I don't own Fruits Basket Another, because, like, I read that and was like, do I need it? No. And I read the stuff from before she did Fruits Basket, and it's not good. So I was like, why would I have this? So, like, I have Twinkle Stars and Lieselotte because I like them. That's been, in terms of taste, me and G are remarkably similar. I love the weird shit, I love surrealism, both, like, in an aesthetic sense and, like, the art movement sense. So, you know, like, obviously Ikuhara is a devoted surrealist, committed surrealist. Hagio as well uses a lot of surrealism. Kamatani. I love, like, what do I love? I love a lot of, like, LGBT content, but that can't be the only draw. Yeah. I like LGBT content that's, like, complicated and means something. I like some really, like, fucked up, like, body horror shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Or psychological horror. Yeah. I like, I really like fantasy that's, like, used as, like, an allegory for something. I like, but I also really like, specifically shoujo and josei, like, fantasy, especially with, like, a more Eastern setting, like China or Japan, or, like, just literally anything other than, like, medieval Europe.
My exception to that is Delicious in Dungeon, because I just love how that series I love the mundane aspects of fantasy worlds. Delicious in Dungeon's one, Heterogeneous Linguistico is another one, and to a certain extent, like, Magus of the Library, which obviously has a more Eastern setting, but stuff that's, like, about, like, it's set in a fantasy world. And it's not an isekai, but it's about, like, oh, this is about, like, linguistics, or about, like, food preparation, or, you know, whatever. It's more fun than being like, oh, yes, we are a team, like, a group of fighters, and we are going after that dragon, and we're gonna help the I'm like, I don't give a shit, mate. Who are you? I don't why do I care?
Yeah, I like that, the low fantasy stuff as well. I really am enjoying Frieren, which is obviously, like, a more Western medieval setting. I also love, like, Maria the Virgin Witch. That's another thing, too, is, you know, if it's about, like, you know, if it's about, like, feminist themes in an interesting way, or, like, you know, anti-colonialist themes in an interesting way, or anti-capitalism in an interesting way, then I'm much more likely to like your series. you know, stuff like that. Stuff that makes me think about things that I care about in interesting ways, in new ways. You know, I'm drawn to, like, things that have themes of, like, trauma or, like, cycles of hurt, cycles of abuse. Found family is a big one. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, I feel like all of that like overlaps with your taste too.
I you can't see it, but I was nodding the entire time, like yes, indeed, exactly.
Also, I do really like vampires and like gothic mm-hmm. aesthetics and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know, I eat that shit up. I'm like delicious. So, you know. If it's got vampires in it, I've probably read it,
mm-hmm.
Unless it's gross.
Sorry, my one, like, because your thing is vampires. I'm, like, super, I always really enjoy things that are about the fashion industry. Like, I've spoken about this before, but I find it really, when a series can talk about, like, fashion and the production of clothing and goods and stuff as well, in like a realistic mm-hmm. way that isn't just like, oh, I want to be a designer, and then there's like never any mm-hmm. real reflection of like the fast fashion industry or like how fucking hard it is to make clothes, and it's a very expensive process mm-hmm. That has been turned into a very cheap process through exploitation of labor and the just all sorts of things. Anyway, we're not going to get into it, but like Princess Jellyfish is a perfect example of that. There's a lot of fun character interactions, and I love that series for a lot of reasons, but I just really respect how it actually talks about fashion and creating anything but mm-hmm. creating clothing. And that's just my, like, weird little thing that I'm into.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess my other one is Takarazuka. But mm-hmm. So, you know, Kageki Shoujo, Review Starlight.
Mm-hmm.
Something like Utena, even.
Mm-hmm.
That just draws a lot on the aesthetic. I love camp. I love mm-hmm. things with a lot of camp. I love things that are not self-conscious about being over the top and yeah. ridiculous and just reveling in aesthetic gorgeousness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that's a big difference from when I was a teenager. I feel like I used to be super, like, elitist about that.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, you know what? If something is just going for being pretty, I think that that is, that has value in itself. You know?
In a similar way, mine is, like, fun, right? Like, I can enjoy mm-hmm. something that's just, like, pure fun and gives me so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
And in a similar way, like, the fun that you get from something ridiculous like JoJo, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
And JoJo's not my favorite series. I know I'm bringing upon the scorn of a lot of people, but, like, I don't care about, like, all of the quote-unquote serious parts of JoJo. I'm just here to watch, like, yeah. fucking crazy fights and, like, dumb shit happening all of the time. And that's what yeah. JoJo and quintessentially like, is, right?
Color and bombast.
Exactly!
And, like, posing. Fashion.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, same. And, like, I've definitely, like, gotten to a point where it's, like, I can acknowledge that I appreciate some lowbrow humor and that there is an art to lowbrow humor as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stuff like Gintama... Mm-hmm. Is also very much a part of, like, my taste. So. Or, you know, like, Chainsaw Man, right? Like,
yeah.
Some very, like...
Chainsaw Man, Dandadan.
Dandadan.
Oh, I love that shit. Like, there's so many dick and ball jokes.
Maiden's New Savage Season, too.
Yeah, there's so many dick and ball jokes, and it's just the funny, like, it's always works. And I always laugh, and that would have never been me at, like, 16.
Yeah. I'm above this. No, I'm not.
Not even slightly.
Next
question. I think we already answered this, but I will put it forward if you have anything to add to it. What are the deciding factors for you when choosing which manga to keep reading or collecting? We pretty much covered that, I think.
Yeah, enjoyment. Also, like, in regards to like collecting, I very rarely, if ever, go after out of print titles. I don't care that much, right? Like, I'm not gonna be spending hundreds of or thousands of dollars for a book, that was mass published by, a printing house 10 years ago. If I want to read it, I'll get the digital edition, legal digital edition if there's a version of that. Yeah, I mean, also, like, if there's something that, like a creator is really fucking problematic, I probably will also drop a series, if I've been collecting it, and I would then sell it. I'm not afraid of like series that cover controversial topics. I mean, we've spoken about many on the podcast itself. I do, like Ray said, enjoy series that do kind of broach a lot of very tricky, difficult subjects and themes. And I'm not prudish. Like, I'm not one of these people who are like, if you read about murder, that means you condone murder.
I mean,
Obviously.
gee, we are both like outspoken fans of
Exactly, exactly. Also,
Shintaro
like, I'm all an unabashed true crime fan, so like, I could never be that person, right? But yeah, like, if your series could be the sweetest, most like innocent whatever, or funnest time, but if you're a shitty person, and a shitty person in more than like the general way of like everyone's a little bit shitty sometimes, right?
Yeah, I'm not gonna cancel someone for being kind of a jerk, allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but if you're a convicted pedophile, or like if were found to have been, I don't know, trafficking people or something, like, just some shitty stuff.
Yeah.
I'm probably not
For
gonna buy
me,
your series.
I definitely have encouraged G and other people that I know to not purchase Vampyrs, which I know a lot of people who listen to our podcast are fans of that series and maybe don't know. But that creator, basically his entire catalog, other than Vampyrs, is just the most violent, horrific, vile Lolita pornography. Which is why I don't support that series. And it's like, has he been arrested for anything? No, but that does cross a line for me. Especially when I can look at the art in the first volume of Vampyrs, which I did read, and get a vibe, you know? So, and it may be the sweetest, most wonderful vampire romance Yuri ever. But
No
mm-mm.
thanks.
No thanks. Continuing with Marumichi's questions. Any particular manga titles or certain types of series you feel you have grown out of? Long running anything really, but especially I used to read a ton of the mainstream shonen type of stuff. And I just and like I still like a lot of it. I don't have anything against stuff that I used to like Naruto or I love Yu Yu Hakusho, but would I read it again? Probably not. I just don't really have the energy for it anymore.
I'm big same. There's a couple exceptions. I've said this before. Like, I do love Haikyuu, and I will definitely reread it, and that one's And even that at 45 volumes is, I mean, it's long. It's super long for what I collect. But it's mm-hmm. also not, like, the same as Naruto or Gintama or, like, a lot of the mm-hmm. flagpole, you know, long-running shonen. And in mm-hmm. a similar sense, long-running shoujo manga, especially high school romance, I don't...
High school romance, when it goes long, yeah.
I don't fucking care. If they're not, like... if they're not in a relationship by volume, like, 12, what are you even doing at this point, right? Like, I just...
Honestly, that's so much more patient than me. I'm, like, I have read so much, like, BL and Yuri, that I'm, like... If they're not together by, like, volume 3, I am out.
Well, no, exactly. That is my turning point of, like, if by the second or third volume these kids aren't together, like, what are you doing? What I'm saying is, like, if in 12 volumes, right, because I see that as, like, kind of a mm-hmm. cutoff point, 10 to 15 volumes, 12 is, like, a sweet spot for a lot of these series. But if you've mm-hmm. gotten, like, if you're at volume 12 and you've, like, get into hand-holding, I'm sorry. That's not acceptable. This is just too little, too late. I just really don't care about secondary couples a lot of the time in shoujo manga. And the longer they are, the more there are of those. Like, I don't hate any of these fictional teenagers or their love lives, but I also don't care. And if I'm if I've gotten like 15 volumes into a series and I don't like the main couple, why am I still reading? Because there are people that are like, yeah, yes, I'm just holding out hope for this side couple. I'm like, I don't, why are you reading, why are you reading someone else's love story for other people who are not involved in that love story? And yeah.
I definitely I feel like I used mm-hmm. to be the kind of person who read things for like the side characters mm-hmm. and then like as I've gotten older I've been more and more like, if I don't like the main character, why am I here? I'm not here for what the series is about, clearly.
Yeah, exactly. The and again, like, I have some exceptions. I by Skip Beat, which is so freaking long, and although I will say that there's not a lot of like side romances, and that one's so little about romance and so much more about the talent industry that like
I was gonna
there's
say
other stuff there's stuff to actually be interested in. And although mm-hmm. it's been like snail's pace in regards to romance, it is satisfying once you get to that point. I just mm-hmm. there's so many, like, I don't dislike Kimi ni Todoke, but by the time I finished Kimi ni Todoke, I was like, I'm done with Kimi ni Todoke. Like, I'm just,
yeah, I'm it's glad like it's that over. One, it's like, the drama that's there is, like, so nothing because it's just inherently about, like, these nice kids being nice. And uh-huh. it's like, how do you make this go on? So, like, I get, like, a feel-good, like, Iyashike type of series. Like, we're both mm-hmm. huge fans of Natsume's Book of Friends.
Yes, but it's like, exactly.
Natsume's Book of Friends is, like, it has stuff going on. It's got these, like, episodic plots that are like, here's a new yokai, and there's an adventure involving this new yokai. And it's like...
The goal for whatever that chapter is, like... achieved in that or the next chapter, like maybe three chapters, yes. right? At the yes. longest. Yeah. You're never having to wait 15 volumes for someone to be like, oh, here's a part of the mystery or the goal achieved.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
I just, through one of the libraries I go to on a regular basis, mm-hmm. I just read Maid Sama. Mm-hmm. And
oh gosh.
That series did not need to be 18 volumes long.
No, it could have been like 8.
Yeah, I finished it because I don't know. I was like, no, I'll just finish it. And these were like the 2-in-1, you know, the later volume, later publisher editions. And I was like, well, I've booked it all out. I might as well just finish it. And like, I didn't dislike it. It's fine. But it also did not need to be that long. And also, like, for as long as it is, the last chapter's like, time skip 10 years, here you go, look at them, this getting married. I'm like, oh my god. I know, again, that's like a thing, like, you jump to them getting married. But I'm like, were they apart this whole time? Because, like, the chapter before was when he goes to England or wherever to do his stuff, and then she's going off to university. And I'm like, that's cool, that's fine. But, like, I feel like in the wedding chapter, it didn't really address that they'd seen each other, like, in that 10 years since. I'm like, did you guys just, like, have this promise of, like, yes, we're going to get married someday as, like, 17-year-olds or 18-year-olds or whatever, and then just, like, you held on to that? I assume you had phone calls. Probably, I mean, he's rich enough. He can definitely go visit. But I'm like, I know nothing about you as, like, people in your late 20s who have also, like, gone through, like, a lot of weird shit. You guys have... I know you have a great relationship in high school, and it's a fictional romance, so you're literally made for each other. But, like, I also am like, man, you are a very different person at 28 compared to 18. And I know you had a lot of... I'm trauma bonding over this series, but just like, wow, man, I don't know.
I feel like that's another thing with romance is like, I am not a teenager anymore. And in romance, more than anything else, is where I really feel that so much.
Exactly. Oh my god. Because
it's like, it's just so much of it is stakes that should not be stakes at all.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, I'd rather just read a Josei series that's like 5 volumes long and has problems that are actually relevant to my life. Like, you know, people thinking about marriage and kids and like how to juggle their relationship with their job. As opposed to like, I don't want my friends to find out about my relationship with this boy. And it's like, why?
But that's the thing, is like, a lot of the high school romance drama is that, like, oh, there's the ex-girlfriend, right, who's here to come cause problems.
And it's like, who cares?
He's the most popular boy in school. We can't let anyone know that we're dating, which is something that Maid Summer does. Or, of course, my favorite, which is another that Maid Summer does, is, like, the childhood male best friend who, like, moved away, came back, and is now hot, and is now, like, a problem. And I'm like, can you just talk to these people as, like, you know, we've known each other a long time. Well, actually, we knew each other as children. And, dude, like, I barely just met you again. We're not in love, right? Like, just leave me alone. I don't know you.
And then when, like, Josei manga has these same, like, problems in it, despite being ostensibly for an adult audience, and I'm like, drop the series immediately, because I'm like, this is clearly, like, aimed at someone who peaked in high school.
Exactly. Like, I would say the, kind of the exception to that is, and this is a series that is, like, pretty tropey. It plays on, like, a lot of the drama that comes with shoujo more than josei necessarily. Well, both, I guess. But Perfect World, right? But when they did, like, oh, the other person, like, the other person.
But they dealt with it in, like, a more mature way.
Exactly. Honestly. And the way that it was done was, like, it's introducing something to this series. And it's asking a question of these relationships that is something that probably people have to think about, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's not just inherently like, oh yes, this is my ex-girlfriend, and even though we broke up 5 years ago, she's still totally in love with me. And like, yeah, that does happen, but you're, at this point, you're adults and should be able to, like, I don't know, address it, or as a couple, or like, to this other person, like, we're not, leave me alone, go away, I'm in a relationship with someone else. Or, again, like, yes, I have this friend, like, this ex who I know and who sometimes I hang out with, it's not a big deal, I'm in a relationship with you, there's a reason I left so-and-so, right? Like, it, I don't know, there's adult ways to deal with this that isn't just like, oh, I accidentally ran into my ex on the street. What will my partner think? Will they think that I'm cheating? And you're like, oh my god! Oh my god!
They must never know!
Where in reality, you're like, oh man, guess what happened? I had a weird fucking day. I ran into my ex and it was, yeah, it was a bit awkward, right? Like,
or like... Also, like, shoujo manga making such a big deal out of, and this is YA too, because it's just a teenage thing. Yeah. And it's how I was as a teenager too. It's just part of being a teenager is just being really weird about sex and intimacy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I get it. I get it. Yeah. Because it is aimed at teenagers, and, like, that is, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, a big thing that teenagers are struggling with. But it is not at all relatable to me as an adult, so.
Exactly. See, I will have to, I do say, I have to say that, like, it legitimately surprised me that Kimi ni Todoke had the fade to black, like, implied sex scene at the end. I was like, whoa. This is getting mild spicy for this series that took like 10 volumes for these characters to get into a relationship. Like this, the standards, my expectations for this was so low that at 30 volumes, I was surprised that these two teens who'd been in a relationship for like 2 years had maybe a sexual encounter, like,
but this was like something that literally like ruined Ron the Peerless Beauty for me in the end. That's how weird it was about the first time for those two, and brought in the dad, and I was like, this is so weird. And I hate it. Gosh.
The other thing I was gonna say is that, like, so on one hand, there's, like, the really non-drama of, like, high school drama in a lot of these long-running shoujo high school romances. And then there's, like, the drama slash plot that's just, like, so out of any, like, because obviously it's a fictional story, so you can do whatever. Uh-huh. But again, Maid-sama, this dude is, like, fucking royalty. I'm like, that doesn't happen. Like, you're not gonna meet a literal fucking Prince Charming at your high school, right? Like, it's just not, I'm sorry. And also, that's not gonna happen. You might meet your Mr. Right, or, like, the perfect one for you, whatever, and high school. A lot of people get married. I don't inherently think those relationships last, but if yours has, fantastic. You are the exception, not the rule. And, like, it's just such a, I don't know why at least with Ouran, like, it is this weird private academy where everyone's super rich, except for our main protagonist. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, and also it's, like, self-aware about it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this doesn't, I mean, private academies do exist. This is not inherently a wrong thing, but, like, it's also, you know, it's just goofy fun. It knows that it's dumb, right? Like, it knows all of these conglomerate
But even then,
errors.
Like, Ouran, like, that I loved so much when I was younger, it's like, I go back, and it's like, I used to love the twins, and I just hate them now. I'm just like, you're so jealous for no reason, and I'm so irritated.
Why are you being possessive of this girl who is ostensibly your friend? You know? So, yeah, stuff like that. I mean, I feel like, you know, if other, like, you know, late 20s, 30-something, like, people are listening to this, they probably, you know, are nodding along. And it's all fine, right? You know? Like, if you're, if you, you know, still don't mind that stuff and you're our age, that's totally fine. If you are a teenager and this is reflective of your life, like, that's totally fine, too. You know?
What I was gonna say is, with age, again, like, this is that, I am more forgiving of teens, especially the high school romance teens, buying into the non-drama of teenage life, because, you know, everything is important to you, and everything does feel like, you know, the world's crashing down, so I get it. Only teenagers act that stupid and, like, realistically think it's, you know, the most important thing. And, like, as I said, I literally just read Midsommar, and I don't hate that series. I don't think it's the worst thing ever written. It was fun for what it was, but it's also, like, I'm never going to reread that. It's certainly not going in the collection. And sometimes you do need that, like, oh, fun, just kind of, like, dumb romance, or not dumb, but, like, you don't have to put a lot of thought into it. You know exactly what you're getting with it. That can be great. That can be a bit of a palate cleanser after reading just, like, the most depressing shit in the world.
And also, whatever, like, there's plenty of teen... There's plenty of teen dramas that I do love. Like, obviously my favorite manga of all time is Fruits Basket, and I'm sure, like, you know, people might be like, you're saying all these things, and yet your favorite manga is Fruits Basket. And I'm like, Fruits Basket is about things. Things happen in the plot in that series.
And again, I don't inherently dislike, you know, just a quote-unquote short, you know, 10, 12 volume sweet series about a romance between a boy and a girl in high school. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that, but I'm also not going to be purchasing the physical volumes to be sitting on my shelves, right? Like,
yep.
I'll check it out through the library, or I might grab a, you know, digital copies when they're on sale, whatever it is. There's a lot of options for manga readers right now, and more and more of those are becoming available for other demographics, other genres.
Yep, basically. We have two more sets of questions. First is at Baz Reads Books. Baz asks, what is the first show or movie you watched where you were aware it was anime? It wasn't Yu-Gi-Oh! For me, it was probably Inuyasha, I think, or Fruits Basket. Inuyasha, I think, probably.
Yeah. Mine was Death Note, as I said. Like, it was, that was my gateway, and it, my downfall, evidently.
And Baz also asks, what are some of your OG favorite manga and anime, and do you feel they've held up over the years?
So, for me, again, I mentioned a couple, Death Note, I think it does hold up. I think I'm more aware of the issues with it that stem from the creator's, you know, personal opinions. But again, I give it a little more of a pass because the protagonist of that series is not meant to be a good person. So I'm like, it's just a reflection of him being a shitty person. And which is evident because I don't know whether Oba thinks that he's meant to be a shitty person, but, you know, it works on a level that maybe is not intended by the creative team, but still works. Like, maybe Death of the Author applies to that one. Fullmetal Alchemist, both versions, but the 2003 version, like, it has issues, but I still love that series dearly. And I do think that it addresses a lot of issues that the manga doesn't address. Like when that series was doing its own thing, like I know a lot of people either love or hate the like part that's non-canonical that happens after the manga adaptation happens. I think it explores things that the manga and that Brotherhood doesn't, and therefore I do think, you know, it's very interesting and I do still really enjoy it. Other things like like Ouran, as you said, that's it's of its time. It doesn't hold up. It hasn't aged particularly well, although in certain aspects it is, because it was a parody of the genre, of what it was doing, but also because it has like a lot of care for certain groups. Like the fact that Haruhi's parent is transgender ostensibly, and it's never said in those words, but you know, Ranka definitely is not like a cis dude.
No.
There's a lot of care done with that, considering that it is like a comedy manga from 2005 or whatever.
Yeah, I will say that I have been bitter for a long time about how it introduces its like Takarazuka version of the like the rival club where they're all like hot girls and they're all lesbians. And like there is literally a feminazi joke where they're like doing the Hitler salute to a female symbol. And I have never forgiven that ever. So
No, I again, I don't think it's a perfect series, and I don't think it doesn't have problems. It has lots of problems. That series, in a lot of ways, is not good. But I also think a lot of that is, again, reflection of that time, that period. And that doesn't mean you have to like it, and it doesn't mean that, you know, it's good, or that I even necessarily recommend it to for new readers. But you can see why it was popular, right? Like you can see why it was the big, that and Fruits Basket were like the popular shoujo of the time. I'm trying to think of like what else I read and watched way back when. Oh my god. I liked the anime, and I liked for the most part the manga, but I did always have an issue with this, and I think it's something that's been exacerbated with this creator series, other series since. Soul Eater, that man, the fan service in that series is so fucking rough. Like, that's such an interesting premise, and Fire Force as well, interesting premise, but that's just absolutely brought to a grinding halt every time there's a fan service moment. And again, I'm not a prude. I don't care if like there's some, you know, raunchy whatever in a series. I can roll with that if it's done without feeling creepy. But like Soul Eater always feels so unnecessary. Like it's not even funny. I don't know any, like, except for like horny 15-year-old boys, who is this for? And like I guess that is what who it's for. But like
That's who it's for.
I did care about the plot in Soul Eater. Like I thought the premise, the characters, the overarching plot line of that series was so interesting and good and well done. It has a quirky art style. It has like it ticks a lot of boxes, but then every time there's either a boob joke, well, it's always boob jokes, but like any time, it's just like, why is this here? Why am I here? Right? Like, this just feels like it's a one panel. It would even like be a one panel or two panel thing. It feels like 100 pages. It's just
Yeah, it's just like, takes you out of it every single time.
every single time it kills the momentum of anything that's happening, and all there's always something happening. So you're like, oh God.
I also feel like the character of Death the Kid has not aged well at all.
Yeah, that's certainly not a kind, inherently, a representation of OCD and, you know, other other things.
As for me, I do think Fruits Basket holds up, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Full Metal Alchemist, for the most part, mm-hmm. holds up.
Mm-hmm.
What else was I into? Naruto, I actually think, for the most part, holds up quite well, especially the early stuff, I think is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very compelling. Like, you know, I went through that phase after my I love Naruto, I think Naruto is the best phase. I went through the I hate Naruto, I think it's the worst phase as well. But now I am an old, and I think that Naruto is good, actually.
Naruto is very good in parts, especially...
In parts.
Especially early on, and then it gets bogged down and it's last like down. Its last half.
But through like the Chunin exams, especially, like I think that's mm-hmm. like top tier Shonen Jump. Like mm-hmm. that's some of the best Shonen Jump stuff you're gonna find.
I legitimately think it has probably one of the best first chapters of a Jump series that mm-hmm. I've read. Like, I haven't read everything, we know that I haven't read a lot of the popular Jump stuff, but, like, both Naruto and One Piece, like, you can understand why these series grabbed people's attention from mm-hmm. the first chapter, and, like, why, especially Naruto, I haven't read, One Piece is a different thing, but, like, Naruto absolutely can understand why, like, a generation of fans just adored everything that was Naruto, mm-hmm. and then went through a mixture of, you know, anime filler, and then just the story definitely running too long and shifting perspective or whatever it was. Just that, oh, the war. I just don't care about the war.
Yeah.
You can see why, like, why everyone just did that complete 180 flip and did not care mm-hmm. at all and started to actively hate it. And then, mm-hmm. and again, I've come into Naruto as, like, an older fan. I read it over the COVID, you know, lockdown period, and it was a good time. But once it got to that point, I was like, I don't, I'm just tired. And,
yeah,
you know, the end was what it was. It was fine. It was a good payoff. But, like, no, I don't care. At that point, you don't care. It's the fatigue of it all. And I can't imagine being one of these young fans who is, like, reading it week to week and having to deal with that for literally years. Right? Like,
Bleach also started out really strong. Mm-hmm. That one, I think, got tired very fast. Mm-hmm. But, like, the first few chapters, the first little bit, I mean, even through, like, the Soul Society arc or so, mm-hmm. Pretty good, you know. Let's see. What else was I into? I'm trying to think. Hitalia does not hold up. It never did, and we were just too stupid to realize at the time.
Yes.
Black Butler, I think, holds up more than you would think it does.
Actually. Yeah, it absolutely does. I have a soft spot for Black Butler. I know it's, like, fun to not like it or whatever, but it's not the worst thing in the world, and it's also pretty self-aware of, like, what it is. Mm-hmm. And when it wants to be creepy, it does do the creepy well.
I think the circus arc in particular is, like, legitimately good.
Mm-hmm.
like, good... high quality content. You can read that mm-hmm. with no regrets.
Mm-hmm. But even, like, there's a lot of payoffs in Black Butler that are just like, hell yeah. that like you don't get necessarily with other series of that ilk.
I love like the zombie Titanic arc is a lot of fun. There's parts that drag for me. The boarding school arc was stupid to me. I didn't like it. The murder mystery arc had its moments, but it was kind of long. But like the Grim Reap, the Jack the Ripper arc, the Grim Reaper arc, really good. Mm-hmm. That character does not hold up.
No,
that's not a 2022 kind of character. but like, there's a lot to like there. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else was I into? I was into Vampire Knight. Vampire Knight is a lot. Okay, it's a lot to deal with. the reasons that thing does not hold up are strange and unusual. but also, like, the first part, like, little part of it, basically up until, I mean, this series is old. I'm just gonna, Yuki turns out that she was, like, a vampire all along and she had amnesia or whatever.
Oh my god.
Up until that reveal, kind of a guilty pleasure for me, yeah. I'm gonna be honest. It's not good. It's bad. But, however, you know, will I reread parts of that on a rainy day?
Mm.
Absolutely will. Don't talk to me. Don't at me. Cringe is dead. but yeah, I'm trying to think. Tsubasa is too long. There's parts of it that are a lot of fun. But the ending is completely ridiculous. Ruins not only itself, but also Holic by proxy.
Yeah.
The central relationship of Shaoran and Sakura is literally from Cardcaptor Sakura, but they just completely delete Sakura's entire personality in order to make Shaoran the main character. So that's sad. Yeah. But I do really like Kurigane and Fi. They're fun characters. There's some legitimately fun like adventure arcs in there. But on a whole, it does not hold up the way that some of Clamp's other stuff does. But I was obsessed with it as a kid, man. Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is actually, like, what I've read?
Yeah.
Fun. It's fun. Okay? Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Holds up a lot more than I would have thought. Also, Detective Conan, I still think slaps. I like Detective Conan a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the mysteries, like, you know, for a kid's show, they're kind of involved. Like, you know, I have to think sometimes. So, yeah, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to find it on any list of, like, feminist media of the year or anything, but... For what it is, it's a good time.
Yeah.
Good time.
Yeah. No, and those sorts of series are always, like, it's always interesting to revisit a series that, like, was so important to you or that you enjoyed so much as a younger person to see if, like, was this actually good or was I just a dumb teenager? And it's always nice when it, like, actually was really good. And you're like, hey, my tastes weren't so bad after all.
Yeah. Oh, Inuyasha is too long.
Yes.
It has its moments, but it is a mess.
Yeah. I look at Inuyasha in the same way that I look at all of Rumiko Takahashi's works, and I'm like, I respect you so much. You should have
quit while you were ahead.
I respect you so much for, like, absolutely dominating this industry for, like, 40 years. But also, like, I will never read any of your series to completion. Because there's just too long, too much. The one exception may be Maze on a Koku, but, like, even that, I'm just like, there's... I don't want to have to deal with this.
Yeah. Inuyasha in particular is so long.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just the same soap opera drama repeating over and over and over. Because it's the same, like, Kikyo, Kagome, Inuyasha shit.
Yeah.
Over and over. And it's like, I don't care about Kikyo.
Right.
I never have, and I never will. I want to watch Inuyasha fight monsters.
Right. Are you telling me you're not watching the highly anticipated spinoff about their daughters who were separated at birth? Like, I don't... Are you...
I was excited at first, and then I watched it. Because I was like, I don't know, a magical girl series set in that world, and, like, you know, I always love Rumiko Takahashi's female character designs in particular.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
They're so charming. I love the designs of the three main characters so much. And I was like, you know, cool, nostalgia, like, you know. And, like, it can't be that hard. Like, you know, you have your isekai premise, and you have, like, these three, you know, half-demon characters who are, like, fighting monsters.
Mm-hmm.
How hard can it be? But it's, yeah, messy. Mm-hmm. Messy, messy. And also, I don't want to talk about who Sesshomaru ended up with.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? But, yeah, anyway. So, like, was my taste good as a teenager? It's hit or miss. And I think that's still true, so.
Oh, life.
Sometimes you just enjoy garbage, and it's fine.
Yeah, we all gotta be a raccoon sometimes in our life, right? Like, digging through the trash and finding the morsels that we enjoy.
Yes. Our last set of questions comes from at... I never know how to pronounce your name. I'm so sorry. Tay at Tayaye MV. What are the most drastic changes you've noticed about your tastes over the years? Most drastic... would be, I don't know, I guess just, like, again, like, getting out from under the thumb of the conservative values I was brought up with and becoming my own person. For me, you know?
Yeah. I think part of drastic changes... And especially, I guess, when it comes to, like, it's part of, come in part with, like, making videos about manga or, like, buying manga. What I buy represents me, right? Like, this idea of, like, oh, I need to show off this series and this series and this series so people know I have good taste. Or I need to have read this series or this series or this series.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think my tastes have inherently changed, but I'm also maybe less self-conscious about, like, how much I enjoy weird shit, how much, like, BL or Yuri that I read, how much, like, I... And the reasons that I read stuff as well, like... Obviously, it hasn't been released in print yet, but Dandadan, like, I 100% will be buying that series because I just adore it. And I feel like past G would have also been buying it, but there might have been this, like, veneer of an excuse of, like, oh, yes, like, it's actually really good, you guys. Whereas it's about, like, important stuff where I'm like, it is... But also, like, it's rad as hell, right? Like, I'm not ashamed to defend something like Fire Punch. Which is a very difficult series to defend sometimes. Like, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, is easy to, like, it's not hard to say convincingly that, like, Chihaya Furu is really, really good and definitely worth watching and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And in a similar sense, it shouldn't be hard to say that, like, Fire Punch is really good, and it is, like, it has issues, and you should be aware of, like, content warnings before reading it, but, you know, I shouldn't have to justify, like, why I'm buying something. So I think that level of, like, oh yes, guys, like, it's really, like, you're not gonna take away my credibility card now that I have this series, right? Right, like, it shouldn't need to be anything more than that.
I think I'm, like, a much bigger and more open fan of, like, sappy emotionality than I was when I was younger. I definitely used to be super, like, you know, like, things that are, like, snarky or, like, you know, super stoic or, like...
Oh, my... Sorry. The snarky light novel protagonist? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, I used to love Haruhi Suzumiya because I loved, like, Kyon. And now I'm like, he's the worst. But it's, like... that's definitely something that I've just grown out of.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I would rather have a main character who wears all their emotions on their sleeve, you know? You know, that was something that I was like, ugh, Naruto is so annoying. Why would you read Naruto for the main character? And now it's like, I go back and I'm like, actually, he's one of the biggest strengths of the series, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if it's a character who's more withdrawn or more, like, self-conscious and snarky, it's, like, I'm gonna want to see their development. Like, I'm gonna want the series not to frame that as the correct way of being, you know? Because it's, like, you know, I love, like, Evangelion, right? And obviously that series is not saying that Shinji is living his life in the right way, right?
Shinji's living his best life, right? What are you talking about?
He's thriving. You know, I think that as just a human, global human society, you know, it's so important that we be open and empathetic and kind and honest. And those are the kinds of series that I want to see now. The stories that I want to see are the ones that promote loving and cherishing and being kind with no ulterior motive. That's what I want to see now. And it's definitely not what I wanted to see when I was 16. You know?
I think that's part of the reason why I love, like, Haikyuu so much, is that emotionality. Like, these kids care so much about, you know, the sport that they're playing, but also, like, their teammates, and they're, like, and again, we've got the snarky character with Tsukishima, and, but he's also, like, that, it breaks down that, like, dude, we know you're snarky, but we know you're, like, actually super invested in this. You just don't want to admit that you're super invested. Like, it addresses a lot of this stuff. And ultimately, that series isn't inherently about, like, you know, being the best, winning the prize, like, it's about the joy of playing the game, right? And that's what Furudate has said, like, they wanted to portray. I agree that, like, this emotional core is so much more interesting and vital to characters and their development and the longevity of a series as well, compared to that snide character who's like, I'm so much cooler than all of this happening. And the reason that you do like that as a 14 or 15 year old is because that's you, right? Like, that's that pretension of, like, this crazy shit's happening, but I'm not dealing with it because you guys are all the problem, not me. So, you know, I also liked Kyon a lot. is what I'm saying.
We've both grown as people. Also from Tay is, which series available now do you wish you had access to back when you started reading? Alternatively, are there series that were available before that you started that you regret missing out on? I mean, I wish there had been more Motohagio in English at the time.
I think just as like a general statement, not inherently necessarily for me, but I think it would have been nice, like, you know, back in the day when I was getting into manga and anime, I wish more of like this generation of BL and LGBT manga was available for manga fans then, right? Like, I feel like especially BL wouldn't have as much of the negative perception, even amongst like female fans who like MLM content, right? As like this toxic, horrible, tropey thing, if there was options available that wasn't like Finder and Junjo Romantica, right? There's so much, whether it's, you know, I Hear the Sunspot or Ten Dance or whatever, right? If that was available, less people now would like immediately hear BL or Yaoi, you know, whatever, and think like, oh my god, yeah, do not, if you even think about looking at that stuff, you are actively homophobic, right? Like, it's just, I feel like that dichotomy and that perception of it would have changed a lot. And we wouldn't have to have like a fucking call out council of like creators saying BL, like my MLM series is way better than that shitty yaoi stuff that like all of these fujo read.
Even though like all of these like Western comics that are like, you know, coming out nowadays, like Heartstopper or whatever, that's all like so heavily inspired by like BL.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, and wears it on its sleeve too. So I know. It's like, stop being pretentious.
Exactly. And that opinion would be less like championed as like morally correct and I don't know, some kind of activism. Because it's not, and you're wrong. For me personally, I think it would have been pretty rad to like grow up with Yona. I think Yona is like a fantastic series, and even as like a dumb teenager, I would have like loved it for what it is.
I loved Fushigi Yugi so much, but it frustrated me so much, and I feel like if I had had a series that has all the things I love from Fushigi Yugi and none of the things I hate from it, I would have been so happy.
The other thing that I would say is that I am very glad that, I probably would have appreciated something like Chihayafuru as well. I probably wouldn't have had the hang-ups that I did about sports, anime, and manga if I had more access to stuff like Haikyuu or Ofori, Big Wind Up, or Chihayafuru. If that was like what was available, but instead like it was all basketball stuff or baseball, which I have no interest in. And I like I've grown a love for baseball because of anime and manga, but like I still don't give a shit about basketball. I'm sorry, I just don't care. I don't understand any of the rules, and all of the like popular ones, even Slam Dunk, which is like quote unquote more, you know, it's less ridiculous than something like Kuroko, right? But I still don't understand it, and I didn't emotionally connect with that series at all. And that makes me a bad person. I don't care. It's just not for me.
Yeah. I mean, from Inoue, I much prefer real anyway. So, yeah. I don't know. I could not get into Slam Dunk. I tried multiple times.
I read the whole fucking thing. And then by the end, I was like, oh, okay. Well, at no point did I engage with this at all.
Sure read that.
What about series that were available before you started collecting that you regret missing out on now?
It's hard because a lot of the stuff that, like, I quote-unquote missed out on then has been rescued. Like, Emma would have been the big one, right? Like, if Yen Press had never relicensed Emma, I'd be pretty sad about that. I do wish that, like, and it wouldn't have helped. The thing is, I look at it because I came into the industry, like, right as the bubble was bursting, like, just a little bit before, so I didn't have that. And Australia as well didn't have as much access to, like, all of the Tokyopop manga that the US did. It's a little bit of a different market, a little bit more of a different dichotomy. And for the most part, I do have a lot of the series that from that era that I would want, right? Like, I have Mushishi, I have like Heart of Thomas, and all these things that kind of like were in that end of the bubble. I'm not that invested in. Fruits Basket again got relicensed, so I was able to read that through the Australian version, actually, before Yen Press license, so I never missed out on that. I would say, like, if it had shaped, because, again, the stuff that I missed out on now, or that I wish I could have gotten, would still be incomplete, like, because of the whole crash and the financial crash, yeah, and then, like, the industry crash, right? So, like, would it have been nice to be able to follow Swan as it was releasing? Yes, it doesn't mean we would have gotten any more of that series, right? Or, like, Eroica. I just... there's CMX titles that were, like, interesting and cool that would have been, like, rad to follow, but it's not gonna, like, mean that I have any more of those volumes now than if I had been buying them then.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much the same. I can't think of anything that hasn't been rescued or that isn't just unfinished. There's a couple volumes of Mushishi I have left to collect. I wish I had collected them back when they were in print.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only one I can really think of. Because it's like, you know. Yeah, I'm thinking of, like, Immortal Rain, which I got into later, but, like, I have all the volumes that came out in English, and they were cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, the rest just isn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
I mean, and again, yeah. Like,
and then,
there's a couple, like, Red River, maybe, but, like, I also, or Basara, but at the same time, like, maybe it would have been cool to, like, buy it and read it and have it now, but I also don't think those are series that inherently would stay on my shelves, right? Like, I might have enjoyed them, I might have loved them, but I can still read them digitally now, but it doesn't... Do I want those... Fundamentally, the idea is, like, I don't know if I'd want those on my shelves. I haven't read either of those in their entirety. I've only read the first volume or first couple volumes of those two. So maybe it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm so, like, I'm crying that I missed it out. I missed out once I finish it. But also, like, I don't know. It's not.
Yeah.
It's probably fine.
Same with, like, Moonchild. Please Save My Earth. It's, like, series that I want to read, but I won't know until I read them if I want to own them.
Exactly.
And then the last question is one that I actually forgot from because we had some technical difficulties that y'all would not know about in the middle here. So I did miss the last question from Marumichi, and I actually think it's a decent place to end out on.
Yeah,
So I'm just
perfect.
gonna throw it out now. What would be your advice when it comes to collecting manga and making the collection feel like it represents yourself? For me, I don't think that a collection has to represent yourself. I guess if you want it to, but that's something that I've discovered over the years is like the collection for me should be functional more than anything else. Like, I want books on my shelves that I am going to read again and again. And that is the number one consideration for me. And then, like, whether it makes me actively joyful looking at the books on the shelf is the secondary consideration for me. And, like, outside of all of that, of course, is do I have room for it? Do I have money for it? Am I going to continue having room for it? So I think more than some sort of like lofty, like, I want this to represent me goal, I would advise thinking very functionally first.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and again, I've said this before, you need, again, I don't like the word collecting or collector, but if you are actively buying books, if you have a collection of manga, that is yours, right? Like, it shouldn't be, unless you're sharing it with a sibling or a partner or something. That's, again, that is yours and the people who are like directly involved. You shouldn't feel pressure to like have every series that is recommended to you. You shouldn't feel obliged to keep every volume of manga that's like been gifted to you either. I know that's sometimes an issue for people. They don't want to get rid of gifts because they feel like it's ungrateful. If
Yeah, that's one place where I have kept the Marie Kondo way of thinking in mind. Like with gifts, I used to be very like, oh my gosh, I can never get rid of this because it was a gift from someone. But, I love what she says about it, which is that if that gift brought you joy when you received it and the feelings that the person wanted to get across with their gift got across to you, then that gift has accomplished its job. It no longer has a job to fulfill. You are free to get rid of it. Like,
Absolutely.
thank it for those feelings and let it go. That's how I've been ever since I read that book.
In addition to that, like, or further to my point, you don't have to own every popular series, especially if you're not that into it. I always say, do not buy an entire series before you have tried it, unless you are super duper sure that you are going to enjoy it. Try it out, right? Like, I don't condone scans, but like most things you can find either through a library or like a digital app, or digital platform. You don't need to be buying like all 90 something volumes of One Piece before you read a single chapter of One Piece just because the rest of the world says One Piece is the greatest series of all time. As someone who has slogged through 600 chapters of it, I do not enjoy myself. It's fun, but like I do not like it and it makes me actively tired. And if I had bought the One Piece box sets, all excited, and then I sat down and read it and got 100 chapters in and was like, why am I reading this? I'd feel really dumb. And so, you know, most of these super duper popular series, whether it's One Piece, whether it's Berserk, whether it's Naruto or Demon Slayer, or, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen, all of these big jump titles. Obviously Berserk's not a big jump title, but it falls into this. Monster's another one. You don't have to buy it just because other people say it's good. You're not collecting or reading or whatever for other people's benefit. I also would say, I am of the opinion that if you're buying media, you should be also, like, watching or reading that media. And again, if that's how you collect, if you want to own 5,000 books and run a library, amazing, cool, be happy with that. I'm glad you're doing that. But you also need to think of these things as, like, they take up space. What if you have to move? What if you have a flood? What if, you know, you're in a messy divorce and your partner wants half your collection, right? Like, that's just, which is a weird thing, but, like, it could happen, right? There's an element of, like, when you do think about collecting and collections of, like, or have you taken out insurance on that because of what if there is an incident? Are you going to be, like, can you afford to keep up your habit, quote unquote? So many people, especially younger, go into debt buying new releases because they want something. And I'm like, no, these are wants, not needs. And you absolutely should not be spending money that you do not have. Especially if you're struggling on other fronts. And again, that's not to say, like, oh, poor people don't deserve to enjoy art. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying get the $2 subscription to Jump rather than spending 10 bucks a volume or 5 bucks a volume on One Piece, right? Like, it's just, it makes more sense. Ultimately,
remember that if it's a 100-volume series and it's $5 a volume, that is $500.
Yes. And the other thing is, as well, is, like, people buy so much in sales because it's cheap, and there's, you know, it doesn't, 25 bucks doesn't seem like a lot for 10 volumes of manga or whatever the fuck it is, right? And, like, I get it. I do get it. But I come from a country that just doesn't understand what sales are. So I have never been in that position of, like, oh, I went to a you know, garage sale, or I went to a liquidation sale or whatever and gotten all of this stuff for pennies on the dollar. And I'm like, I know, but what if you don't even like it, right? Like, then it's just sitting in your house. People are like, well, then I'll just sell it. And I'm like, I get it, but there's a reason it was 30 cents in a Goodwill. Most of the time, you're probably not going to be able to shift that book. It's just going to be sitting in your house collecting dust. And ultimately, you're going to either have to donate it to a library or another Goodwill. And you're like, you've lost 30 cents. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but that every little 30 cent purchase adds up. And if you actually sat down, if you are someone who's like, I love manga and I want to start a collection, and I've got, like, 5 series that I really love and I have the extra money for it, and, you know, XYZ, blah, 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 blah. Sit down every time you make a purchase and, like, legitimately pull up an Excel spreadsheet and just have one dedicated to what you're paying for manga. Right? Like, and you will find that it really, really adds up very quickly. Even if you are buying in sales or buying secondhand or whatever else the case may be. Especially right now, because it's such a crazy secondhand market right now. You don't realize, like, if I insured I don't even want to think about insuring my collection, because it would be in the thousands of dollars, like, legitimately thousands upon thousands of dollars, for ostensibly like maybe 1,100 books, not even that. And so you guys, like general you guys who are out there are thinking like, you know, it's $100 a month or whatever, right? Like I don't buy that much. You spend way more than you think you are spending, and it's not something that most people can keep up with, unless you are super incredibly well paid and you every other aspect of your lifestyle you're being extremely frugal. And that's the other thing is, if you're young, if you're wanting to start a collection because you're seeing people buy, you know, hundreds of manga a month, do not be that person. Those people, I guarantee you, are in a lot of debt, either through credit cards or personal loans, or just really having to live paycheck to paycheck, or they're in a situation where they can afford to spend money, i.e. they have a very well-paying job that I guarantee that you do not have, or they live with like their parents or something, right? Like they don't have the expenses of a normal adult living on their own, or even a normal like teen or young person who has, you know, phone bill, whatever bill. There's a lot of money. Do not put yourself in debt or financial hardship for a hobby. That, do not do it. This is my most important advice, more than like, oh, you know, you need to have the books that you love and want. Do whatever, spend your money the way you want to spend money, but you have to actually have that money free after paying off of all of your bills, after putting away some in savings, because you do need savings. Then you can start thinking about having some fun money to spend and think about like creating a collection. And the other thing I want to say is that people look at my collection and I said, you know, it's roughly about 1,100 books, not including light novels as well, but like my manga, including BL and Yuri and all of that, it's actually closer to 1,000, but roughly there. It's still in a downsizing process, but that's where it's sat at. That is 10 years of collecting, right? Like, that Rome wasn't built in a day, and your collection should not go from 0 to 2,000 books in the course of a year. It just shouldn't. And it's not sustainable, and I think social media and YouTube and all of that really just exacerbates the idea that you need a lot, you need it now, you need it immediately, and if you don't have that, then you're not worth, you know, you're not worthy of participating in manga communities, which is ostensibly wrong. Anyway, sorry, that's my rant over.
And that is also our questions over.
Yay! So,
yay.
Hopefully that's, a little bit insightful for people who maybe don't know too much about us personally behind the podcast, but I don't think much of that was new information for those.
I just hope that it was a fun nostalgic journey.
Yes.
For listeners.
Indeed. As for next month, it is October, which of course means it's spooky season.
Spooky season. Woo!
So, as we've long promised, I'm sure we've mentioned it many, many times over the course of the podcast, but we're finally actually doing a Junji Ito spotlight, which will be interesting. Yep. Very well-known mangaka for his horror manga. But for us, we're not particularly really Ito fans. Because of that, I haven't read a lot of his stuff, although there is a lot out there, a lot available. So I will definitely have some reading to do for the next couple weeks.
Same, yeah. We're actually on the same page for this one.
Oh my gosh. As if we weren't basically twins already. So be sure to leave your comments, send your comments to us either on Twitter. That's on my Twitter at simply G. No, that's not right. That's incorrect. I'm on Twitter as simply G, but my at is at G Reads. That's GEE, all one word, I believe. I don't even know any of my own social medias. That's embarrassing. Or, of course, you can listen to find me and also listen to this podcast on my YouTube channel, Simply G. You can also listen to this podcast on all of our normal podcasting platforms, Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all of those good things. So you can find us most places. Be sure to also follow Ray on her social medias. She's on Twitter as Whimsical Pictures, which is at Whimsical Pics, PIX. Links down below. And again, she does have, technically, she has a YouTube channel. A lot of great backlog there, and a lot of great videos. So be sure to check her out there. Otherwise, happy September, everyone.
Happy fall.